Hello, listeners. In the few weeks leading up to Celebrity Big Brother, I am going to be sharing some really fun interviews with you. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening and leave us a rate and review. Thank you so much. This week's guest is Blair Fry, a woman of many talents and notoriety. She's an influencer, part-time assistant to Big Brother star Elena Davies, and as I'm recording this intro, is starting an exciting adventure with her husband, who she met on a podcast / Instagram dating show. It's a lot to unpack, so listen to her explain it for herself. Here is my interview with Blair Fry. Thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time. I am so excited to talk with you. I have so many questions, so I might bounce around a little bit, but I want to start with pre-2018, what you were doing, because we have not actually talked a lot before this interview. So I don't know a ton about you other than like what I've seen and read online. So, you were like a PA on The Bachelor or something.
Before. Yeah. So I graduated 2016 and I did an internship at CMT in Nashville, Country Music Television. Absolutely loved it. It was such a cool experience. But they didn't have any like full-time jobs right when I finished my internship. So I was kind of like, well, what the heck am I going to do next? And it was like a dream of mine to work on The Bachelor. It was my favorite show, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I just randomly, I think there was a girl I followed who I knew she worked somehow for the show, because she would post pictures like with, the season before was JoJo's season, I believe. So she was posting pictures of like Wells and the other guys from that season, like on her Instagram. So I was like, okay, she must be like a producer or something. And so I just randomly messaged her and was like, hey, like I work in production. I would love to be a PA for The Bachelor. If there's any way you can help me out, like would love that. And she was so nice and gave me the contact info for the like house manager, they call it. And so I emailed that lady and she like set up an interview and was pretty much like, yeah, these are the dates. Like it was so informal, like, cause to be a PA, they really just need somebody that's going to work hard. Like, cause you're doing all the like crappy stuff. Like you're literally like picking up the trash, refilling the water coolers, going to the grocery store and buying alcohol. Like it's, you don't have to actually like be super skilled. And so it was just like, these are the dates, if you can make it work. And I was like, yeah, I'll be there. And so I literally rented an Airbnb for a month, flew out there, got a rental car. So like, I didn't actually make any money because the money I made working, I spent on my car and my Airbnb, but it was like such a cool experience. So yeah, that was Nick Vial's season. And then I ended up coming back to Nashville and then worked at CMT full-time for a few years. But
that's awesome. That's so funny. So did that like prep you? Cause you obviously were following Caitlin Bristow and like following her stuff. Was that because you had worked on the show or just because you were a fan of the show?
So it's funny because I actually like the only two seasons of The Bachelorette or Bachelorette, like since I started watching, which I think my first season was Emily Maynard, maybe. And there was two seasons I didn't watch because I was doing this like summer program thing and didn't have like Wi-Fi really. And it was Caitlin's season and Andy Dorfman's. I never watched their seasons. So I wasn't even like a huge Caitlin fan. I just like knew who she was. And then I did end up watching her season on like Amazon Prime or something. Because I started following her and I was like, oh, she seems cool. Like, and work was super slow at the time. And I was like, I'll download a season of The Bachelor and watch it. And I was like, I never watched her season. So I started watching it. But yeah, I honestly just followed her because I thought she was really cool and like down to earth. I was not like a huge fan or anything. I had never even listened to her podcast when I went on her podcast, which some people were like, what the heck? And I'm like, sorry, I just thought she was really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that, I mean, I just was always a fan of the show. So that was why I started following her, because I knew she was Bachelorette. And I watched, I guess I watched her on Chris's season, Chris Soules, but I just never watched her like full season until a few years later. I don't remember exactly when it was, but.
That is so funny. Yep. Okay. So that's super cool. What were you doing at CMT?
So I started as a production assistant in the graphics department, which a production assistant at CMT is very different than a production assistant like in the production world. Like you're actually like helping write scripts and stuff like that. So it was way more like advanced. But I was a production assistant in the graphics department. And then I switched back over to the promos department, which was who I interned with. And then I worked my way up to a writer producer eventually. And I did that for almost a year. And then COVID happened and I got laid off. But it was kind of like for the best, because it's like kind of just forced me into doing what I'm doing now. So it kind of worked out. But
yeah, yeah, that's a perfect segue, because I wanted to talk about, I love, well, first of all, I love how you are so transparent online, a very like obviously very real down to earth person, which I think is very appreciated in the world of like quote unquote influencers, such a weird word to use.
I know. Anytime I'm like, what do you do? I'm like, I do social media. Like that's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, it's like I such a weird.
I would never call myself an influencer. It just feels weird. I'd rather say like content creator.
Yeah.
Social media marketing.
Totally. Totally. But you've like, to me at least, do it differently than everyone else. And I love that, and wanted to talk more about like what that is like and how when you're like pitching to brands, because a lot of the times you're not just posting a photo with a product and like throwing a code. You're like going all out, making a song, like you're doing different things. So when you're talking to brands, what is that conversation like when you're like, yeah, so you're not just getting a photo, you're getting like a new marketing song?
I don't know. It kind of depends on like, honestly, because a lot of brands, like they will tell you what they want you to share in the sense of like, you know, one, like you kind of negotiate, but usually it's like one picture feed post and stories are like a reel. So like, I honestly love doing reels because of that, because I feel like I can like let my creativity out. I can be more like make it more fun and like engaging rather than just like a photo. But a lot of times brands do want just like pictures. But I definitely do enjoy doing the reels more. I need to be better. I don't know why. Like, I really don't even pitch that often. Like my manager who gets me some collabs, like she'll do that. Like she'll be like, hey, this brand wants to work with you. They want you to do like a custom song video or something. So I really don't like pitch myself in that way, I guess. Now that I'm like talking to you, I'm like, maybe I should do that more. Be like, hey, this is what I can do. Like, cause I just kind of tell them more like about me and like about my audience, like that kind of stuff, just to show them more that it'd be like a good fit in that way. So that's a very good point. I feel yeah. like I should be better about pitching myself and showing them like I can be creative, but.
Yeah, totally. There's yeah, a whole world out there for that.
I know. It's definitely, that's my favorite thing to do, is like when I can be creative with a brand and like actually, because I think that's honestly where it comes from. Sometimes brands are so particular in what exactly they want that they limit your creativity. So when a brand gives you full rein of like, here's what we want you to promote, like it's your audience, it's your brand, do whatever. Those are the brands and like collabs that I actually like can go all out, because I'm like, oh, I can have fun with this. But then sometimes it's like, a photo, make sure it's in this type of location, make sure you're doing this. And I'm like, well, you just took all the fun out of it, but okay. Yeah.
No, so totally. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I'll still try to be creative and like put my own twist on it. But yeah, sometimes brands can be very like limiting on like what they actually want you to do. Cause they have like their own brand too. So it's like, you know, I've had a brand be like, you have to wear white or like a neutral color. And I'm like, why? Like my, like I like wearing colors and bold things, but so yeah, it's
interesting
world. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So your road to becoming a content creator, did it start when you did the Blairette?
Yeah. I had no, like, that was never something I really aspired to do, which also I feel like in 2018, I mean, there were like influencers, content creators, but I don't feel like it was as common as like now, especially with TikTok. I feel like everyone can have a huge platform now. And so it's definitely more common. Like everyone wants to be a content creator. Everyone's asking and people are like, take my course to be a content. Like, it's just like such a thing everyone wants to do, I feel like. Whereas back then it really wasn't, because I was never even like, oh, that seemed would be cool. Like that wasn't a thought on my mind. And even like when Caitlin was like, hey, we want to do this little dating show. Like the first thought wasn't like, oh, wow, I could grow on Instagram from it. You know, like, cause I just don't think it was as popular of a thing back then. But it definitely, that was kind of what started it. Cause I probably had like 1,000 followers before, like just people I knew. And so it was definitely one of those things where like it kind of did happen overnight. And so I've had to just like learn as I go. And it wasn't like, I feel like someone who actually like grows slowly and, you know, little by little, and then, you know, it's like, they know what they're doing. They know what works for them. Like, whereas if you're like thrown into it, you're kind of like, oh, like when I remember like the first brand that reached out to me and they're like, hey, we want you to like do this. Here's our budget. And I'm like, what? You're going to pay me? Like, okay. You know? Yeah. And it's definitely like a learning thing, like as you go. But I'm super grateful for it. I mean, it definitely wasn't, like I said, what I had planned, but I feel like because I do have a platform, I'm kind of like, well, if I've been given this platform, then I obviously want to use it. And so I want to like, honestly, my main goal on social media is just to like be a light, like spread some positivity, joy, because I feel like there's just so much darkness on social media and you can see so much negativity on there. So I'm like, if I can just make one person smile by sending them a nice message or make somebody laugh by posting a funny video with Luke or whatever, you know, then that just like makes it worth it to me. So that's kind of where I come from, is like, okay, I've been given this platform, so like, I want to try to use it for good in some way.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And I think you are definitely doing that. So the Blairette, I just went through like the archives of Instagram and I watched them and it's so cute. Like you were doing, were you also doing podcast interviews along with the episodes?
Yeah. So we would do, each week, like an episode came out on on IGTV. And then, me and Caitlin would recap that date on her podcast. So she has like Off the Vine, but then she does on Thursdays, like Grape Therapy. So each week on Grape Therapy, we like recap the date. So people could like watch it and then they could listen and like hear our thoughts like about the date. So it was kind of like, it was cool too, because it was happening in live time, like real time, which was interesting. Cause like, you know, when you watch The Bachelorette, like everything's already happened. Like they've already made a decision. You can't influence them in any way. But like for me, people would like comment and be like, oh my gosh, I love him. Or like, oh, I hate that he did that. You know, it's like they could like get to you and you're like, shoot, like, do they see something I don't like? Everyone really likes this guy. And I kind of like felt weird vibe, you know? So it was like interesting that people could actually like weigh in their opinion as it was all happening. And like also a little nerve-wracking, because like after my date with Luke, I like really liked him. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like what if people don't like him? You know, it's like that like nerve-wracking. Sorry, I have a cough. But yeah, so that was what we did. That was kind of like the format of it all. Which it's funny now looking back, because so me and my I had two friends that worked with me at CMT, and they like came on the dates with me. So they were the ones that filmed it. And then I would edit it, which was also a great perk because I could choose like the best parts. So like for Luke, I was like, okay, I need to make him look good. Like what do I include? But it's so funny looking back now, just because I have grown so much in like video and photography and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, that was a really low budget. Like it does not look as good as it we probably thought it did back then, but no, it was really fun to like create.
Oh, that's so funny. I didn't realize. So you were like making it as well.
Yeah. Because the original idea, they were like, hey, we want to do this, you know, little dating show. And they were like, we were thinking like, what if you go on these dates and you can like, they're like, what if you just like take, pretty much like post on Dew's Instagram story, like at each date, like with the guy kind of thing, like just like introducing the guy, telling him how the date went. And I was like, well, like if you want, like I have like a video camera and I have friends that work in production, like we could actually like film the dates and like I could edit it and like so people can actually like watch the dates rather than just like, hey, just got done with my date, you know. And they were like, oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. And so so yeah, that was what we did. They came on the day.
Oh my gosh.
And then I would be up to like 3 a.m. editing. Like it was a lot. It was very time consuming.
Wow. But
we had fun with it for sure.
That's amazing. So did you like Luke right off the bat? I mean, like you were saying, you were like, oh, I need to edit this to make him look good. Were you like, I like him?
So yes, but I was, okay. So my two friends that went on the date with me, some reason did not like him, and which is hilarious because now they're like, why did we like that? Luke's their favorite person ever, but it's because he was just so nice and like charming and funny. Like they were like, I don't know, I think he's like a player. Like they were like, he's too good to be true kind of thing. And so then that got in my head and I was like, oh my gosh, wait, is he like, I thought he was really funny and like really this, you know? And then I was like, shoot, is he a player? Like he was staying with one of his friends from college while he was there. And like his sister came down with him and his friend, like we met and I was like, you know what? She seems like we could be friends, like all this kind of stuff. So I actually messaged her on Instagram and I was like, can you please be like, just like, girl talk, be real, like be honest. And I was like, is Luke like that? Like, is he kind of a player, you know, whatever? And she was like, LOL, like, no. She's like, Luke friend zones every girl he meets. He never dates. Like, he is like the complete opposite of that. And she was like, he was probably just so nervous because there was like some parts of the, like when they were doing like one-on-one interviews with Luke, like he would like try to be funny, but it came off in a different way because he was so nervous. And so it's really funny looking back now, but because of that, I was like, oh my gosh, like, is he not what I think? Like, so I was very nervous about him. So he was definitely like the dangerous choice. Whereas like the fourth guy that I went on a date with, who Luke is really good friends with now, he was like part of like our Nashville friend group, but I hadn't met him when the Blairette started. So he was friends with like a bunch of my Nashville friends, but I didn't know him. So I was kind of like, shoot, like I have two guys. One of them is like the safe choice. I know what kind of guy he is because he's friends with all my friends, but the other one I just like really like, and I'm very giddy about, but like he lives in Philadelphia. And like, what if he's a complete, like, what if he is a player and like, is just like, you know, knows how to say the right things, you know, all this kind of stuff. So I was definitely nervous about it. And I think that was why I was nervous for what people like, cause I was like, I didn't think he was, but they did. So I was like, what is everyone else going to think? Like, are they going to be like, oh, he's so nice. Or like, I don't know, red flag.
Yeah.
So I was very nervous.
No, it's so interesting. I mean, we see this with, I mean, this podcast started as like a Big Brother podcast and now yeah. It's sort of a reality TV reality everything podcast, but
yeah,
we see this happen with people on these shows where there's like this social pressure of like, what will people say if I do this, or if I like this, or if I'm interested in this? And so it's so interesting that you were kind of experiencing this on the internet, on social media in the same sense. Was there any point, so you obviously picked Luke, and you started dating. Was there any point where you were like, I don't know if this is going to work out, but I feel this like social pressure. We have to make this work because all these people are so invested.
So it's funny because my mom actually, when I was like going through, like doing the Blair, it was like before I had picked anyone, all this kind of stuff. Actually, I think it might've been before I like even went on a date. Like it was just like, it was a thing, you know, I was about to go on my first date and my mom's like, I don't know. I'm just like nervous about it. And I was like, what are you nervous about? Like, I'm going on dates, like in public, my two friends are going to be there. Like, why are you nervous? And she was like, well, like, what if you just don't really like any of them? And I was like, then I don't date them. I was like, this, I'm not ending in a proposal, mom. Like, it's just for fun. But she was like, what if you don't like them? But I think like coming right after it, everyone was like so invested. And I was like, oh, shoot, like, what if we do break up? But it, there was never a point of like, I never actually got to a point where I was like, I don't know, like, do I still like him? Like, as soon as we started dating, it was just like up and it just got better from there. And so I never like had to deal with that, luckily. Cause yeah, I mean, I'm sure like, so even after it, they talked about doing another season and they're like, you know, would your brother want to do it? Would, my best friend, Erin, who was one of the girls that filmed it, they were like, would she want to do it? Like, we would call it like the Blairette's brother or like the Blairette's best friend or something. They're like, we want to keep this going. And I was like, look, guys, I was like, the fact that me and Luke are still together is wild. And I was like, you don't want to like mess that up because I guarantee you it won't work again. And I was like, people will just be disappointed. It's like the Bachelorette. People, you know, when you break up, everyone's like, well, waste of a season. That was, you know, saw that coming. So I was like, you need to just like take the fact that this worked and just be like happy. Cause I was like, if it doesn't work, people are going to be disappointed. And so, yeah, there was never really like a point where I was like, oh, I don't want to disappoint people because things were going so great with us. And it was like, what the heck? I actually like, this is my boyfriend now. Like what? But like right when it ended, that thought definitely crossed my mind. Like, oh gosh, what if we break up? Like everyone's going to be so upset. But luckily I did not have to get to that point.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild that you are literally married now.
Yeah. I forget all the time. Like, cause I mean, you just don't really like think about it, but like when I do, or like whenever people ask, like, how did y'all meet? I'm like, you know, the wildest way possible because I wrote a rap. And so now we're married, but it's just so like crazy to look back and think, and just, there were so many reasons that like Luke would probably should not have even come on the show. Like they said Nashville guys only. Well, like after everyone applied, they made the decision, like, we're only going to do Nashville guys. It'll just be easier budget. You know, we were on a very low budget production, and that Caitlin saw Luke's video and was like, no, I want this guy. I think they would hit it off. I want him, like, we'll fly him in. I don't care. Like we have to make an exception. So like, that was the first thing. Like he didn't live in Nashville. So like, they could have easily just been like, eh, next, he doesn't live in Nashville. And then they asked him, they were like, hey, we need you to come down between these dates, like this week. And he had just gotten back from a Europe trip and was like, I can't take any time off. Like, I just was on this trip. Sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it. Like, I hope Blair finds love. Best of luck to her. So sorry. And once again, Caitlin was like, no, I want them to meet. And so they like kind of reworked the schedule and they're like, what about this week? Like, could you do something these days, you know, whatever. And he happened to have like 4 days off in a row or something. Like he worked like the first 3 days of the week and then had 4 days off. And he was like, oh, I could do that. So like, there was just so many reasons that I'm like, this was literally such a God thing that like this actually happened the way that it did, like, it's just, yeah, it's very mind-blowing that, like, everything lined up so perfectly, and then now we're freaking married.
I love that so much. That's so funny. So, yeah. Okay. That is the craziest story. Thank you for sharing that. So I met you kind of via email when I was trying to get Elena on my podcast.
Yes.
You work with her, for her, help her out. How did that happen? Just to add to your reality TV world life connection.
So me and Elena met on a girls trip in Nashville. It was a girl named Bailey who's friends with Caitlin. So Caitlin's kind of like the connection between all of us. But they were planning a girls trip in Nashville. So it was like 15 girls maybe coming to Nashville for the weekend. And we all stayed at like an Airbnb, and Elena was on the trip. So that was the first time I met her, and I had never even watched Big Brother. So I didn't really know anything about her, but we just like really hit it off that weekend, had like a ton of like deep conversations, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then, so we just like kept in touch. I mean, February, right before COVID. And then we just like really hit it off. So we would text all the time, FaceTime, you know, we were just like immediate friends. And then I got laid off from CMT. And so Luke and I were like, well, you know, Luke was a travel nurse at the time, but he was travel nursing like in Nashville. And we were like, well, we could just start, you know, traveling around. Like the plan was, like we weren't going to do it till later on, but we were like, well, why not now? Because there's nothing tying us down to Nashville anymore. And so I told Elena, and she was like, you should move to Fort Worth, like do an assignment in Fort Worth. And I was like, I mean, we don't really have like a place in mind. So like, sure, we'll come visit. We'll see if we like it, you know. And then COVID happened, so we never got to visit. Like, well, let's just go. And like, I mean, Fort Worth seems really cool. So like, I was like on FaceTime with Elena. She would like show me apartments, like that kind of stuff. And we were like, we chose an apartment, and then we moved there. So we were there for a year. He did 4 assignments in Fort Worth, and Elena and I just like became better friends. And I like shot a lot of her content. I helped with drop their like business. Just like shooting content for that. But pretty much just like helping her with like the creative stuff, like shooting video, shooting pictures. I don't know if you saw her Big Brother All-Stars series. Did you ever see that? You'll die if you see it.
So, oh, I'm looking it up immediately.
Big Brother All-Stars aired. And she came to me and was like, I have this idea. I don't know like how it would be possible, but she was like, what if I like somehow acted as if I was in Big Brother All-Stars, like the season. And we like brainstormed, talked for a long time, and eventually it turned into us buying a green screen, and we literally green screened her in the entire season. So like there's a weekly recap. Each week on Big Brother.
How did I miss this? Oh my God.
Head of household veto, and then like the ceremony. So like each episode was like a week, and it was like a recap, but it included Elena. Like, you're gonna die. It's so funny. So like I did all of that for her, but it was all just like the creative stuff that I helped her with. And then we moved this past July. We left Fort Worth, and I think it was like September maybe that I was like talking to her, and I was kind of like joking, and I was like, yeah, well, I was like, or maybe it was August, I don't know, but like the month before had been like such a good month for me, like was getting great collabs, like crushing it. And then I think it was August was like nothing. And I was like, cool, well, haven't made a dollar in August. And so I was like kind of joking around with her, and I was like, well, if you need an assistant, just like let me know. And she's like, well, I actually kind of would like benefit from that. And like, you already know my whole life and everything about me and everything I'm doing. So she was like, what if you actually do help me? And I was like, I mean, I like that kind of stuff. Like, I love like emails, organization, and that's like her worst nightmare. So I started just like helping her with that kind of stuff. back in, it might've been like September. So it's been a few months, but we just work really well together. I think because we're friends, and then also like, we just like, I know what she likes. I know what she doesn't like. And so, yeah.
Love that. Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
All that kind of stuff. I still help her when I can with like creative stuff, like editing video and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I'm definitely looking that up because that's so funny, and I'm going to find it and link it because that's hilarious.
It's probably like, if you watch all of it at once, it's probably kind of long. Cause I want to say, well, no, the first episode might've been longer, but each one might've been like 5 minutes. I don't really
remember. Hilarious. But I love it.
We thought they were hilarious. So
oh, I'm sure.
I feel like you will too if you like Elena and you like Big Brother.
Totally. That's so great. I mean, she was amazing when I talked with her. You were amazing emailing me. So no, that's so crazy. Wow. So you're back in Philly now.
So we are like in Luke's hometown, which is like 2 hours west of Philly. It's in like central Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So we're only here for one more week, actually. So Luke did an assignment here. We've had a lot of changes of plans lately, because we were supposed to go, we were going to live in Australia for 6 months starting in December. But things over there are a bit crazy. They were like still on lockdown, and we were like, we just don't feel comfortable going. Like, I was like, I'm not going to go live in Australia and be on lockdown. Like, that is not the dream. And so we were like, let's just push it back. But the plan was to come do an assignment here and spend time with his family before we left. And also save a little bit of money because we're living with his parents. So we were like, you know, we'll save money on rent for a little bit because Australia is not the cheapest. But then we decided to push that back, going to Australia. And so we were going to possibly go out to Salt Lake City in January and do assignment there. But then doors were kind of closing with that. So we were like, okay, like, what do we do? And I've just like had the dream of just like for an extended period of time, just traveling in like different countries and like living in different countries. Just cause that's what I'm most passionate about. Like with my Instagram, like I love when Luke and I travel, like creating travel content and that kind of stuff. And so I kind of just brought that up to Luke. Like, I was like, what if we like lived abroad, like chose like a few different places for like 6 to 7 months and just like lived there, like a month in each city, kind of like fully embracing the culture. Like, I was like, I think it would be an awesome opportunity for me, like for my work, but then also just like, I feel like we would grow so much from that, like living in another country, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so he was like, well, like, give me some numbers, give me specifics, like how much is rent going to cost? How much is this going to cost? Like how, you know, all this kind of stuff, like give me the logistics. And so I did. And so we're going to be here for another week, and then we're going to Georgia for a week to see my family. And then we're heading to Europe. So we'll do 7 months there. We'll do a month. Well, not just Europe. We'll do a month in Switzerland, a month in Lisbon, Portugal, a month in Florence, Italy. And then right now the plan is to do 2 months in Bali, but of course they're like going back on lockdown. So I'm like, you know what, we're just going to figure it out as it comes. And then we'll do a month in Scotland and then end in Copenhagen, Denmark. So that's the plan for now. But like I said, things kind of always are changing. Like every day I'm like checking the COVID entry requirements. I'm like, okay, can we still get in the country? But yeah, so that's the plan.
Wow.
I'm excited about it.
That is so exciting. Oh my gosh. Well, we'll all be following along. That's amazing.
I'm really excited about
all the people listening to this podcast, which it could be 5 people or 500, I guess. We'll see.
Hey, hey, 5 people. What's up?
That is so, so cool.
Yeah. We're really excited.
Yeah. I'm excited for you. Oh my gosh. That's like an amazing experience to have and just like opportunity to take advantage of. And
yeah.
Wow. So do you have any idea when you get back to the States where you would want to go?
So we'll come back in August because Luke's cousin's getting married. And then I don't know. I mean, we definitely want to go out west. So I was thinking, I think we do want to do Salt Lake City, like during ski season. So my thought is possibly like Colorado for the fall, like September, October, November, and then Salt Lake City. San Diego's on our list, Seattle maybe, or like Portland, Oregon, somewhere up there. Hawaii would be awesome. Scottsdale, Arizona. So we have a list, but then it's like kind of like Tetris, like figuring out like, okay, when do we want to go where? Because I'm like, we're not going to Scottsdale in July. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Like I said, things are constantly changing. Luke loves that. Like Luke's like, I love the unknown. And I'm like such a planner. I'm like, I need to know when we're going to be there, where we're going to be. Are we allowed in the country? Like the like up and down of it all. I'm like, this is too much stress for me.
Yeah. Gosh, that's gotta be so stressful, especially in COVID. I've planned many a trips around the world and that was a lot. Now I couldn't imagine trying to do all
of that. It just adds one extra element. And like, I think we'll be okay because like for most places right now, like if you're vaccinated and you provide a negative test, like you're good.
Yeah.
So I'm like, as long as that's the case, like great. Cool. But if anything happens and things get worse and they're like going on lockdown, I'm like, well, we'll just figure it out as it comes, one day at a time.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh. Well, thanks for talking with me about all of this stuff. It's all so exciting.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, of course. On the Block is a production of Yes Studios.
Our music is by Harrison Amer. Our executive producer and host is Madison McGee.
Our producer and co-host is AJ Christensen. And our associate producer is Emily Jacques.